Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Hwang. It's time now for The Bigger Picture.
Now, in spite of prolonged uncertainty, apparently the global IPO market did really well last year. So what's ahead? What sort of action can we expect, Ryan?
Lots of action this year. And if you look at what happened in 2021, we had around 2,388 deals. That is around $453.3 billion in proceeds. And that's up over 60% year on year. And all of this part of findings from the EY Global IPO Trends Report. What's the outlook for 2022, especially for Singapore, with the SPAC listings in focus? Just last night, we had two players filing their prospectuses in the form of Pegasus Asia and Vertex. Let's check in with Max Low. He is the EY ASEAN IPO leader and Singapore and Brunei managing partner for Ernst & Young. Morning, Max. How are you doing today?
Morning. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Max, let's dive into the report findings and maybe get a bit of an overview first. If you look at what's transpired in 2021 and then the type of momentum we have going into 2022, the markets we are expecting not to do as well in the form of the S&P 500, which was up around 27%, and we're expecting returns to moderate this year. Is there going to be any correlation when it comes to the appetite for IPOs?
Absolutely. I think 2021 has been really an exceptional year. It broke records by IPO volume and proceeds, and all of it obviously had to do with the fact that there were the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, there was economic recovery, there continued to be ample liquidity in the market, and on top of that, remember, we had lots and lots of government stimulus programs across the globe, and that really culminated in a lot of optimism in the global IPO market. So the IPO market in 2021 actually ticked the boxes positively on two counts. One, which is the number of IPOs, and two, the amount of proceeds raised. However, there was one negative factor, which was that quite a number of the IPOs actually are trading below IPO market pricing. So that, I think, is a key statistic that could indicate some headwinds going into 2022.
Yeah, the one that stands out for me is Grab on day one did not do as well as what they were hoping for, but it's been a mixed bag. And you mentioned a few drivers, headwinds and tailwinds. I think a big one that stands out this year will be the central bank tightening. How much will that do in terms of affecting the appetite for these market capital and fundraising efforts?
It will have a major impact for sure, because the 2021 market, as we all saw, rose on low interest rates, government stimulus, earnings rebounds. And 2022, there are no repeats of this, or maybe less of a repeat of this. On top of that, we've got the monetary tightening, as indicated by the Fed, which will lead to interest rates rising sooner rather than later. You've got inflation, which will be an additional headwind. And therefore, there's a lot of talk that, you know, in 2022, could we have an IPO hangover?
How about the regulations that we seem to be seeing coming through from Europe, US, and then now China with the crackdown, especially with them forcing some of the Chinese companies to come back to China?
That's an interesting space, isn't it? Because different regulatory exchanges are tweaking their regulations, some really to attract more listings. And you see mainly in Southeast Asia, each of the regulatory exchanges are actually trying to make it more attractive to have listings on home exchanges, especially for technological companies. And on the other hand, China, of course, has tightened their regulations. Obviously, concerns over data security, cyber security, and really clamping down on what they deem to be monopolistic behavior. So it's a mixed bag out there. The global exchanges continue to be very competitive. And one can also analyze that. Somebody asked me a question the other day that, look, if there are fewer Chinese companies going to the U.S. because of tightened regulations, and of course the U.S. has also come up with a slew of regulations to look at Chinese companies, how would that benefit Singapore? I think my own sense of it, I think the A-share market and the Hong Kong market will benefit a lot more, because it's really about a homecoming for these Chinese companies on those exchanges. There could be some spillover effect in Singapore, But Singapore has its own story in terms of initiatives to try and make itself a more attractive listing destination.
Yeah, Max, that's going to be the next question I have, right? Singapore, how did we do in 2021 and how will we stack up, especially against the intensifying competition across the region?
Yeah, the competition is always going to be there. How we did in 2021, we got off to a slow start, actually. I think the first three quarters, we only saw a sprinkling of IPOs. Mm. That sort of picked up in the fourth quarter. And actually, if you look at the registrations that have been lodged at the end of 2021, there are quite a number of catalyst listings. There are smaller companies mm-hmm. that are primed to go for an IPO in 2022. And you mentioned, I think, earlier on the program, there are already two SPAC IPOs that have been filed. I think more to come. But the interesting thing for me is not the SPACs, which I think will come about, but what is the de-SPAC? What are the companies that will be folded into these IPO companies in due course would be the more interesting question.
The SPAC space will be one to watch. And you pointed out, no, it's not just about listing the SPAC, but also how investors will de-SPAC or gain from the de-SPAC. Okay, looking at what we have in the REIT space, that is also starting to get quite interesting. It picked up at the tail end of last year. We've got one of them, of course, Daiwa House REIT. Another one is a data center play. What do you make of the REIT space right now? There's a lot happening, especially with M&A as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very attractive space for the Singapore Exchange and the Singapore market because we are already a listing hub for REITs. So the more REITs that list on the exchange creates an ecosystem that is very attractive to investors. I think the REIT space, we are already in excess of 100 billion in terms of market capitalization on the Singapore Exchange. Mm. And the REIT that you see actually has a variety of assets from offices to warehouse to data centers to even student accommodations, right, across different geographies. And this breadth and depth is what is important to create an ecosystem for more REITs to come on board. And let's not go even into the fact that Singapore is an attractive REIT destination because of a stable government, currency, the tax regime. We're a wealth management center. So all this indicates positivity for Singapore as an international REIT hub.
Yeah, Max, just to wrap things up, looking at what we have in Singapore, we do have a couple of regulatory changes that issuers have to adjust to this year. This includes the push for sustainability reporting. How much will that have in terms of impact on growing the IPO pipeline?
Yeah, so sustainability reporting has always been present over the past few years. Now there's enhanced reporting in terms of climate-related disclosures, which investors want to look at. I think it's important that we have that in place. We've also got board diversity. It's been talked about for many years. Now you've got to do policy disclosures, and then also you have a whistleblowing policy that needs to be in place. I think these are part and parcel of advancing Singapore in terms of transparency and disclosures and what's important to investors. So I think all these are generally positive. There will be increased compliance costs resulting from it, but that's something I think that's a part of the cause that we should just take into account.
I guess setting up things for the long term. We're chatting Max Low. He is the EY ASEAN IPO leader and Singapore and Brunei managing partner for Ernst & Young. Max, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.